So, like Ben said, my name is Nico. I'm from Radiant Anchorage. But more than that, I am your brother in Christ, united with you because of the work of Jesus. And so as we talk about unity, I'm going to talk about that quite a bit. And so it's like if you were to find out that you had a family member that you never knew about, and you met them, right? You'd kind of be like, who are you? And you'd probably have a conversation with your parents as well. But I'm your brother. I'm your brother only because of Jesus. And so I'm so excited to be here. My wife, I wish my family was here. My wife Celia and our three kids have been waiting for an opportunity to come and visit. My wife's parents moved back to Fairbanks. They're originally from here, and so we have been trying to find a time that we can come back and come see you guys all. I'd love to share my family with you guys. It is such an honor to be in your presence. It's such a privilege for me to preach God's word, to be among the saints of Radiant Fairbanks. On Tuesday, I literally got hit by a truck on my way to work, and so I'm thankful I'm alive. My vehicle was totaled, but out of God's grace, I managed to get out of there with very minimal injuries. And so I may smell like Deep Blue doTERRA because my back is kind of stiff, but I'm very thankful to be here, like I said, to meet you all, and to be a part of this sermon series that you've been in for a couple months. So if you're new to Radiant, or if this is like your first time being here, I highly recommend you listen to the previous sermons online. You can go to radiantfairbanks.org for those. But we're in Radiant Fairbanks. We're in a sermon series called Building the Church. And it's based off of these three beliefs that Ben has organized, and I fully agree with. And the first one is that the church is built on a gospel foundation, right? This is critical and key for any believer wanting to be a participant of a church. And in those three, in that, the gospel affects three things: our past, present, and future. And so Ben has been talking about how the gospel saves us from the penalty of our sin. When you turn to Jesus, your sin that you have committed has been forgiven by Jesus. In the present, because of the gospel, God has equipped us with the Holy Spirit to overwhelmingly conquer the power of sin in our present struggles. And what we have to look forward to is that the gospel saves us from the complete presence of sin, that we have victory over death, mortality, because of the work of Jesus in one day, either by Jesus' second coming, or if we die on our earthly lifetime here, we get to be with him forever. That's our hope. That's what we get to look forward to. And that's our gospel foundation. So if you're a believer in Jesus, you have to know that. So the second part that Ben's gone through, the second belief or value, is our gospel identity. And so when we believe the gospel, God gives us a new identity. This identity is based from the doctrine of the Trinity, which means that there is one God who eternally exists as three distinct persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so as we think about baptism, and when you're baptized, we see the picture that as you go in the water, that you're dying from your old self, and that you're baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you're raised to newness of life, you're a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ. And that is your gospel identity. And so someone raise your hand and tell me what Radiant's identity statement is, and you can't be a pastor. GC leaders? So what is our Radiant identity statement? And it's okay, and I pick on my church like this every time I get to preach. Okay, I'll help you out. So it starts with, we're a family of missionary servants. Good job, somebody over there. Okay, so we're a family of missionary servants, right? So we say it a little differently, but it's the same thing. So we say we're a family of servant missionaries. It's okay. We're not going to divide over this. All right, we're talking unity. Okay? And the only reason why is because it kind of lines up with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we're a family of missionary servants or servant missionaries. And then we add on the end of ours, learning to be and make disciples in all of life together. And so that's how we say our radiant identity statement. And so that we know that as the Father, okay, has adopted us into his family, we are now a part of God's family, right? That's our family identity. And then we serve under and alongside King Jesus as a fellow servant. So because Jesus is our king, we are servants. And then missionary, Ben used the language of witness, right? We are sent to live as missionaries by the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel to those who do not know God until Christ comes back for us. So that's because of the Holy Spirit. You are a missionary. Every single one of you that claim to follow Jesus, you are a missionary. And then the last part, learning to be and make disciples in all of life together. So as we do life together in gospel community, that should be a familiar word to you guys. Gospel communities are basically like small groups, but they're a little more than small groups. But folks that come together and walk out the gospel in all of life. And so that's how we learn. We learn from each other. We disciple each other in community. Christianity is not built for you alone. It never was, it never will be. It has to be in community. And so, as Ben has been using the language of reclaiming your identity in the last three sermons, I hope and pray that you've been pondering and questioning why you do the things that you do. The things that you do are based upon your beliefs of your identity. So if you're doing things contrary to the gospel, contrary to the Bible, contrary to the mission, you have to ask yourself where that is coming from. Because when you're a believer, when you're a follower of Jesus, you have a new identity. And so when you're not, you have to ask yourself, what identity am I living from? Because you could possibly be living out of a lie. So now we're moving towards the third section, the third belief of building the church, and it's called Built for Gospel Unity, which I'm so excited to preach about. When Ben told me the sermon series that you guys were in, I was super stoked. And so every fall, we have a routine in our gospel community to go over Radiant Basics. Raise your hand if you know what Radiant Basics is. That's okay, awesome, sweet. I got a little bit of interaction there. Good. So Radiant Basics should be very familiar. It's essentially a shorter version of Gospel Foundation and Gospel Identity. I love it. I'm so passionate about it. So I apologize if I seem a little extra. Where are my military personnel? Raise your hand if you're in the military. We're a part of the military. Raise it high. All right. There we go. Nice. Okay. So can somebody, one of you military guys, I was prior military as well. So, can one of you guys tell me what AAR stands for? After Action Report, After Action Review, something like that, depending on the branch. Okay, so an After Action Review. All right, I'm not going to ask you what it is. I don't want to put you on the spot. But an After Action Review, a report, is exactly what it sounds like. Okay, it's a time to review the action or whatever happened that took place after it happened. That's it. That's an AAR. So there are two things that absolutely need to be talked about in an AAR. Can one of you guys tell me what those two things are? There's two main things. Usually your NCO will draw it on the board and put a little line. There's two things. What is it? Okay, sustain and improve. Good job, man. You need to get promoted. Talk to your commander later. So sustained or what happened, what, you know, in the mission, what did we do, and then how can we improve? And so every fall,
RGC goes through an AAR. I make them go through an AAR for the way that we lived out our gospel identity. And I absolutely love it. I get the whiteboard out, and we all look back at the year, and we talk about how we were family together and how we can improve. We talk about how we were servants together and how we can improve. And then we talk about how we were missionaries together and how we improve. We then look at the next year and we say, okay, with these things that we're going to improve on, what do we want to do next year together? What do we want to do as a family? What do we want to do as servants? And how do we want to be missionaries to our city? And so it's one of the things I look forward to every year in our gospel community. So I'm fired up with what's happening here at Radiant Fairbanks. And I'm just so excited that I get to be a part of it. So let me pray, and let's get right in. Father God, you are so good. And Lord, I just pray that as we listen to your word, as we discuss unity, Father, that you would help us to all understand what you want from us, Father. Lord, we are broken. We need you so bad. And God, I just pray that you would encourage us, Father, and this church and our churches across the city to know what it means to truly be a family of missionary servants, God. It's in your precious son's name. Amen. Okay, so what is unity? Somebody raise your hand. Give me a definition. Or what you think. When you hear unity, what do you think of? I know we haven't heard that in a long time in America, right? So what is unity? When you think of unity, what do you think of? Say again? Teamwork. Awesome. That's good. What else? A common goal. Okay. That's good. All right. I got definition for you. You don't have to worry too much. Okay. So here's a few definitions that I picked up from the old Bible dictionaries I got in my closet. So the first one is the state of being undivided, having oneness, a condition of harmony. Another definition is living and practicing harmonious existence among humanity and before God. The definition of undivided, which is very related, the quality of being in agreement with someone or something in a way that produces a harmonious environment. Richard Lent, he's a writer for the Gospel Coalition. And he wrote this definition. He says, the unity of the church refers to the union of the people of God in all their various distinctives and expressions, bound to God and to one another by the gospel. He wrote a summary of unity that says, the unity of the church is to be a reflection of the unity of the one God upon which the church is built. The ideal, that's unity, and the real, that's division, do not always match up in the life of the church. A biblical theology of unity reveals a richer and deeper understanding of unity than mere uniformity, but it also holds out the goal of visible unity towards which Christians should aspire. The model of church unity presented in Scripture is a unity in diversity, which protects it on one side from an over-reliance on human hierarchies, but also from too great of an emphasis upon human autonomy. So this is the type of unity that we're going to be talking about today. Open your Bibles to John 17. So the main text that I'll be preaching from is John 17. That's the high priestly prayer. Because this is a topical sermon, and I know that we're not... at least I know that I'm not used to preaching topical. I'm going to be bouncing in and out of this book, so try to stick with me. I got most of the verses on the slides. So to give you some context before we get in John 17, so Jesus is closing his conversation with the disciples in the upper room where he washed their feet, and you all may remember the Last Supper. So he closes with this high priestly prayer. According to the book of John, this is right before the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus is betrayed by Judas. So they're still in the upper room. This is the last things that he says. All right, let's read John 17, 1 through 26. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in the truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them have been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved may be in them, and I in them. That's a lot. It's a good prayer. So to break this down, hopefully you saw the harmony in that prayer, as he's talking about his relationship with the Father. So as Jesus prays, he emphasizes the bond between him and his Father. He uses marriage language, such as all mine are yours and yours are mine. He speaks of oneness, like in a marriage when two becomes one. This prayer is Jesus interceding for the disciples and for future believers to be as one as he and the Father are one. That's crazy, like, if you really think about it, that God wants me and you guys to be as one as the Trinity is one. That's the type of unity that God is praying that we aspire to do. So what does this oneness actually look like, right? So turn your Bibles over to Acts 2, 42 through 47. You guys should know this pretty well.
It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Okay, so we see this oneness, right, in Acts. After Peter's sermon to the 3,000 plus people who received salvation. Okay, so this piece that says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. So before salvation, they did not have all things in common. Now, if we just look past, they speak different languages. They probably disagreed about tons of things. But what they had in common was Jesus. That's what they had in common. You guys may even think of, if in your gospel communities, I tell my folks in my gospel community all the time, like, man, I would never hang out with you if it wasn't for Jesus, right? And that's just so true. I mean, I would not be here if it wasn't for Jesus. I would not be able to share that I am your brother in Christ if it wasn't for Jesus. I don't have anything in common. I may, like the military guys, I may hang out with you guys, right? Anybody like to shoot some guns? We may go hang out, right? But there's folks that we may not be friends, right? And that's okay, because there's something bigger than friendship, right? And it's this unity that God is talking about. And so this is what happens when the church is living in gospel unity. And so they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Right? Has anyone ever experienced that here? Just like raise your hand. If you've been around Sean, cool. Yeah, that's awesome, right? When you're in a church family or just a community, and things happen that you just would never happen outside of the church. I think about my friends all the time at work, and you know, I'm like, hey man, when's the last time you dated your wife? And they're like, man, ever since we had kids, I don't ever. I'm like, why? Like, why is that? Like, I just don't know. I don't know who to send my kids to. I don't know who's going to watch my kids. I don't trust anybody. They don't have anyone. Or they talk about moving. Like, moving in Alaska happens all the time. I've moved so many times living here. But every single time I have a rally of folks from our church that come along. I'm like 20, 30 people in a huge U-Haul truck that just come. And there are, you know, our movers. But I have so many friends outside the church that have no idea what to do because they don't have that community. And so, I don't know about you, but when I think of Christian unity, this is the type of picture that I see. This is unity in diversity that we've been talking about. And so why is this important? Right? Why is unity so important? Why does Jesus want us to be united? And that's a question. So somebody, why is this important? Why would it be important for us to be unified, to be united? I'm good with awkward silences, so. Because it's important to God. Amen. That's a good one, man. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny when they accused Jesus of being a demon, right? They were like, he's got a demon in him. He's like, hey, man, a house divided. Like, this isn't going to work. They're like, oh, yeah, okay. It's definitely not a demon, right? Just wouldn't work, okay?
Yeah, this is important to God, right? And if it's important to God, it has to be important for us. That's why we do some of the things we do, right? Some of us adopt kids, not because we're like, yeah, we're all about foster care and adoption. No, it's because we have a heart for kids. And we do things like take kids into our house that we've never known before and raise them. It's because God adopted us, right? That's why we do those things, okay? So the reason why, thank you so much, man, why this is so important is because Jesus is on a mission to love the world, right? Like, that's so crazy. Like, his mission is to love us. That's what he wants to do. And he wants us to continue that mission. And to do that, we have to be united. And so let's just look at John 3:16-17. You guys probably know this already. You guys are probably like, why is 17 on there? We never talk about that one. Right? So for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Right? So let's jump to John 17 as we go back. John 17:18. Okay? What does it say? It should be behind me. Okay. So as you sent me into the world, right? John 3:16. Okay? What does he say that he's going to do? So I have sent them into the world, right? It's right there, okay? So as God sent Jesus into the world, now Jesus leaves us and obviously gives us the Holy Spirit so we have the power to do so, and then he sends us out on that same mission. It hasn't changed, that we would love the world, right? As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. We have been sent by Jesus in order that the world might be saved through him. Not by us. We're not going to make more of us. We're pretty jacked up. We need to make more of Jesus' followers. Okay? So let's look at verse 20 real quick to the end of the chapter. I need you to identify yourself in this verse, okay? So he says, I do not ask for these only, all right, that's the disciples, but he says, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. That's us, right? And so he says, not just the disciples here, right? First century disciples, no, not just them. But I'm praying, I'm interceding, God, for everyone that hears the word, that they would be just as one as we are one. That's us. Like right here, he is praying for us, for every single one of you that heard the gospel and believed it. It's because of this prayer right here, and God answered it. So let's just finish this off, right? So that they may all be one, that's us, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. So that, right? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. The whole purpose is so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. We have been given glory, that they may be one even as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you, there it is again, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Oh, righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I'll continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. God prayed that his family, us, the big church family, would live in such close unity
that it would resemble the unity that he has, the love that the Trinity has, that we would have that same type of love. But not only that we would experience that, right? But that we would share it with others. That's the whole point. That's like what we're, that's it. It's like pretty simple. That's it. And I know we complicate it all the time. Like, man, God, what's your will? I'm not sure what your will is. He's like, hey, man, I loved you. Why don't you go love some people? Right? So John 13, 34, okay, Jesus gives the disciples a new commandment. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, here it comes, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's how the world is going to know about Jesus. How we love one another. That's it. It's going to be way better than your, you know, weird plan to bring somebody to a coffee shop and Romans Road them or whatever you got planned. People are going to see Jesus by you being Jesus. This is everything that you do. They're going to see it. So I got a question for you. If God were to look at the church in the West, would we, and I'm not talking just Radiant Fairbanks, okay, we're all about unity, okay? I'm talking about the church in the West. Would we resemble unity or division? And it's okay if you don't want to answer that one. Let's just talk about the church in America. When we see the church in America, amen, yeah, unfortunately. Thank you. Brian Gray, I don't know if you guys know Brian Gray, but he's a good friend of ours at Radiant Anchorage. He's a huge influence to James as James was growing up, so much so that James calls him his spiritual father. Brian covered for us last week because James had to quarantine, if you know what I mean. In his sermon, he illustrated culture so well, and I told him I was going to steal this from him. He talked about how culture is like water, okay? So who's ever been to a beach? Who wants to be at a beach? Yeah, I know. So my wife and I went to Maui for our 10th anniversary, and we went to the beach almost every day. And we noticed, like so many of you that have been at the beach, that when you've been in the water for a while and you're like swimming or snorkeling or whatever the heck you're doing, right? And then you start to head back to shore, what happens? Like there's a something that happens where you're kind of like confused. What happens? Does anybody remember? It's okay. You live in Fairbanks. I don't. You're not going to beaches out here. So when I say it, you're all going to be like, oh, yeah. So you don't really know where your stuff is. You guys remember that? Like you're coming back and you're like, babe, where's our stuff? Right? Because it's like way over there. Okay? Has anybody ever been in that situation? You guys raise your hand. Okay. All right, I'm not alone. So that's kind of how culture is. All right? So as you get in the culture, right, the culture is affecting us whether we notice it or not, okay? And if our eyes are not fixed on our stuff, right, we're not going to know where it's at, right, because we're kind of going to be swept away from the current of the water. Okay, so as you think about water as culture, as you're in the culture, right, and you're in the culture, it doesn't matter whether you think you are or not, you're in it, okay, and like water, you start you start kind of swaying away. And it's not your stuff. It's like, it's the gospel. It's Jesus. And so as you're like floating down, you know, the culture waves, and you turn around, sometimes you're like, man, where the heck is Jesus? Because I am way off. And that's how the culture is, unfortunately. If our eyes are not fixed on Jesus, we will slowly or quickly be swept away from our foundation. Psalms 34, 5, you guys know this. You got to. I mean, this is based on all our five churches. Okay, we're going to say it all together. All right, ready? Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Amen. We have to focus on him. Every day. All day, every day. If we are not, it's so easy to just be swept away from the culture, especially right now. Especially right now. Like if you're on your phone right now, you're being swept away from the culture. I don't know if you are or not, I didn't see you. But I know sometimes I am. Because I want to check, you know, I'll be scrolling, right? Or whatever. It just sucks us in. Our world is so divided right now. We all know this. I don't have to talk about all the different types of ways that we're divided. We know we're divided. That's how divided we are. It's like in the air. That's how divided we are. Tony Evans, in an introduction to a sermon last year on unity, he called our country the divided states of America. Like, just think about that for a second. A lot of you guys are nodding your head, so I'm in agreement with you guys. So comparing our country now to what it was first founded on, I have to agree with him, right? I don't want to, but it's just true. It's so true. We're so divided in our country. I remember listening to a John Mark Comer's podcast, This Cultural Moment, as he was talking about how politics is really the new religion. Politics is where people have aligned their identity. So many of us have been swept away in division towards people, family, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ because a difference of opinion in politics or policy. Some of us have deleted tons of people in the past couple of years because of this types of stuff, like on social media. Anybody went on a deleting rampage? You're like, that's crazy, and you just start unfriend, you know? Yeah. Some people leaving social media entirely because of the stress that it's causing you in your life. The same division that we see has crept in the church, unfortunately, so much so that we look no different from the world. Some of us will not speak to family members because of their differences in opinions. Some would rather spend holidays separated from family because they don't want to deal with the division. They just know it's coming. The holidays are coming, like soon. And I feel the tension. Some of us have cut off friends because of their views on vaccines or mask mandates. Some of us have just given up on the church because to them, she's not attractive. And that's super unfortunate. If we are supposed to be, you know, if when he talks about our glory, right, that means like when you do something godlike, which we normally don't, right, like when you're patient with your kids, you're like radiating God's glory. Trust me. Men, your wives are like, the glory of God. That's the glory that he's talking about. And unfortunately, when the world sees the church, they don't see that. But they see her the bride of Christ is unattractive, and that should not be so. So I want to spend some time asking some questions. These are questions to think about. Do not answer these questions out loud. I just want to ask questions to think about, to ponder, and to reflect on, whether you just do this tonight or with your GC. As I ask these questions, I want you to dig deep down in your soul, to be honest with yourself and with God, with where you're at. Okay, you can think of this as Radiant Fairbanks' AAR, all right, for yourself. So are you in unity or division? When it comes to your relationship with God, are you in unity or division? Are you united with God? How is your relationship with God? Do you actually believe the gospel? Do you want to be a part of God's family? If you do not believe in Jesus, right now I encourage you, if this is you, you need to tell the person that brought you. You need to ask someone in this church. Maybe talk to the elders or someone here. If you know you're not in a right place with God, and you want to be united with Him, you want to experience that love, reach out to somebody. If you are a believer, but you know that your relationship with God right now is on the rocks, my question to you, are you quenching the Holy Spirit? Are you living a life that you know you're not supposed to? And if you are, I encourage you to also reach out to someone. We cannot do this alone. You will never be able to overcome your sin or whatever lifestyle that you may be in that's hindering your relationship with God alone. We have to do this in gospel community. When it comes to your family, and I'm speaking your personal family, are you united or divided? Are you in unity or division? Are you united in your family? Are you united with your spouse? Are you guys on the same page? Or does it feel like every night there's an argument for some reason, and you guys feel like you have to stay up all night because of that verse in Ephesians that talks about, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger, and then you don't get any sleep, and then you're super upset the next morning because you only got 4 hours of sleep, and then it becomes another fight, and you just want to go to bed, and you're just fed up. Are you united with your spouse? Are you and your spouse leading your kids from a gospel identity, right? Are you displaying the fruits of the Spirit? Or are you choosing what is easy and gets the job done? We have too much technology, guys, to just babysit our kids. That's easy. God doesn't call us to do that. We can't just throw a screen at them and then go to your screen so you can scroll for 2 hours, right? That's the reality. Some of you guys are thinking about that right now. Like that's the reality of where we're at, unfortunately. How are you leading your kids? Do you have gospel rhythms in your home? Do you make time for your spouse to go on date nights? Are you actually doing Sabbath? You probably never heard that before, huh? It's one of the Ten Commandments, right? It's so funny. When we look at the Ten Commandments, we're like, yeah, awesome. Oh, yeah, definitely never going to do that. And then when we get to the Sabbath, which is the longest commandment in Exodus 20, we're like, what the heck is that? Now we're a new covenant of people. We don't do that anymore. Yeah, we just don't. Guys, we need Sabbath more than ever right now. We're tired. We're stressed. We're fed up. And we need to rest. We need to pause, think in awe of the glory of God, and just rest. Do you have Christian family members that you need to reconcile with? And I'm just going to leave that one at that. Are you united with Radiant Fairbanks? Okay. Are you living in gospel community? I want to ask you that, not as just one of the pastors that's like, hey, you better jump in there, man. You need to get in GC, right? But are you living in gospel community? Are you living out of your gospel identity? Like, this is your identity, whether you like it or not. Like, God saved you. He gave you his identity, okay? You're a family of servant missionaries, learning to be and make disciples. Are you doing that? Are you living that out? And this is not something to bring shame upon you. This is just a question to ponder about, just to think about, right? So are you being family with Radiant Church? Okay, are you eating together, fellowshipping, recreating? We love to go. We live in Alaska. And so during the summer times, RGC, we do fun stuff. We're not that type of church that's like, it's summers, guys, half the church left, whatever, right? And in church leadership, that happens, especially in Alaska. We encourage it. We're like, guys, it's Alaska. Let's go out. Let's go camping together. Let's go fishing together. We do fish camp every year. Like, half the church leaves work for like a week, and we all go fishing down on the Kenai, right? I take people on backpacking trips, go do Crow's Pass and go hike mountains together. And I'm doing it. Now, if you're doing it alone, okay, then your elders have permission to go chat with you. But if you're doing this together, I think it's totally fine. But be family together. Are you on mission with Radiant? Are you intentionally seeking out the lost together? And then are you serving Radiant? And when I talk about serving, I want to ask, are you serving your church? Are you serving with your church? And also, are you allowing Radiant to serve you? I think a lot of times we can have like this savior complex where we're just going out and we're just loving on people, serving people. But when it comes to our needs, and when it comes to, you know, when we need help, for some reason, we think we don't need it, right? You may be a 2 on the Enneagram, and you're like, yeah, that's kind of hard for me, but whatever. No, you need help just as much as everyone else does, and you need to allow your church to serve you. And then lastly, is there someone at Radiant that you need to reconcile with? Right? Like, this is the hub of when we talk about unity. This is going to be the most effective place for you guys to be on mission when it comes to unity. And if there's something here that you guys need to, you know, reconcile, you have to do that. You have to. It's going to be weird. Super awkward, too. Like, you guys see each other at least once a week, right? You have to reconcile with one another. Are you united with churches across the way? And I'm going to answer that yes, because you guys are rocking it and I'm here, you know. But are you united with churches like in your local area? And I'm going to say yes, because this isn't even your building, right? So you guys are rocking that one, okay? And then are you united with churches across the state? I would say yes, because I'm here. And then I wanted to let you know as well. So every church is a little different, Radiant churches. And I know that you guys have a specific vision statement for Radiant Fairbanks. The Radiant Network also has a vision that you guys may or may not be familiar with. It's on your website. So I checked it out before I was going to say this. So the vision for Radiant churches is to be a radiant reflection of the gospel to our cities and throughout the North by being gospel communities who multiply disciples and churches. We want to see gospel saturation across the North. Okay, so as Radiant churches, a Radiant network, like, that's what we want. That's what we want to see. And you guys are a part of that. Like, we're doing this together.
I know that sometimes you're kind of like, oh, that's weird. We have like 5 Radiant churches. We do. Like this is real. We are doing this. As much as you guys are in the trenches, we are in it too. And we can only do this together. We can't do this alone. The last thing that I think is probably the hardest for us is that, are you united with Christians that are different than you, right? Because like the when we get to heaven, it says like all tribes, all tongues, all nations, right? It's not just going to be middle class white folks, right? I know some of us are like, whoa, you went there. But seriously, especially right now with some of the racial tension that's going on, like if someone that you never knew or that was different than you was like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Like, yeah, they're your brother or sister in Christ. And that's how you have to treat them, right? And I understand that we have, you know, denominations and we have all these different types of things where sometimes we do have to kind of draw the line on some things. But if someone claims that they're a follower of Jesus, like that the gospel is their foundation, that we're family. We are family. And I know that's so hard. I know it's hard for me. As a Christian leader in the church, and folks come from a different, you know, denomination or something, and they're like, hey, we want to share your building. I'm like, well, let's check out your doctrine first, right? It's weird. It's hard. And as we're divided so much in the secular world, we have been so divided as well in the churches. And so, you know, I'm like speaking with my egalitarian brothers and sisters, right? If I can even say that, right? And I'm like, hey, could I partner with them in the gospel? Like, that's like what I'm wrestling with, you know? That's just a different belief in some doctrine. But that's the question. Are you united with Christians that are different than you? Now, I want to make sure that we know that we're not, I'm not asking these questions for the sake of unity. Like, I do not believe that we should just be united for unity's sake. That's not what I'm saying at all. We cannot force true unity. I'm asking you for the sake of the gospel, okay? If the world is to see God's glory through our love for one another, they will never see it if we're divided, okay? Almost done, guys. So how do we respond, okay? So we are going to respond as Jesus responded in this prayer, all right? So in the high priestly prayer, this is how God responds. So in John 17, 1 through 5, Jesus first prays for himself, right? So if we look at John 17, 1 through 5, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So what does this mean? Right? So he specifically is talking about the cross. So look at verse 1. The hour has come. Okay, that what hour? That hour is the death on the cross, which leads him to his glorious resurrection, right? That was his mission, okay? But what does this mean for us, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, every godly action that we make is God's glory being displayed through us. And so we have to be praying for ourselves. Specifically, we have to be praying for sanctification. Okay, so look over at John 17, 16 through 19. All right, so 16 through 19, we have, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is talking about his disciples, okay? Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And so for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. So can someone tell me what the word sanctification means? Like when you hear the word sanctification, what goes on in your head? Make holy. Good job. So to be set apart, to make holy. How does he sanctify? How does he make us holy? By revealing the truth. It says his word is truth. To be made holy sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? Yeah, I don't know. You guys want to be holy, I'm assuming. It sounds pretty cool, right? Jesus is holy, right? I want to be holy. But those that have been trying to faithfully walk with Jesus, okay, what do you hear when you hear the word sanctification? Yes, yeah, yeah. Words like fire, crucible, right? It doesn't ever seem the way that we want to become more like Jesus. Usually when someone's like, yeah, man, he needs some sanctification work, it's kind of like, oh, gosh, what's he doing? The process of being holy is hard. The Holy Spirit knows how to press your buttons better than your spouse, better than your kids, better than your siblings do. He goes directly to your heart. God knows you more than you know yourself. He knows what's actually going on in your head. And he goes directly to your heart because he loves you. He loves you so much and he wants you to have his joy. Not to harm you, like the enemy does. He wants to protect you. So look at John 17, 13 and through 15. It says, where am I at? It says, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. That's what God wants for us. He asks the Father, I don't want them to come with me. They're not ready to come to heaven with me yet. They're going to stay in the world. But as they do, protect them from the evil one. If you want to be a part of building a church for gospel unity, the first thing you need to do is that you need to pray that God would reveal the division in your heart that is preventing you to live out your gospel identity. The second thing you need to do is to pray for radiant. Jesus prays for those that were given to him. When we look back at John 17, 6 through 9, it says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out to the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Right? So, Radiant Fairbanks, you have been given the people of Radiant Fairbanks. You didn't get to choose them, right? Some of you guys are like, oh, I probably wouldn't have chose him, right? But you have, by the grace of God. You have been chosen. You have been placed here. This is your team. Like, this is your family team on mission here in the Fairbanks borough. And you get to do this together. It's a privilege. And so you have to be praying. You have to be praying for each other. Who's familiar with the Idea Fairy? Any of you guys know the Idea Fairy? I know the military guys are like, gosh, man, it's got too many military jokes. So the idea of fairy in the military is just when people just start asking folks, they just have all the ideas, you know, and you're kind of like, I don't know about that, and they just keep on coming up with them, right? Sometimes we have idea fairies in the church. And so when the idea fairies come and tells you how the church should be running, or their new idea for how the church needs to be built, okay, because this is going to happen, we need to gently, patiently, and kindly ask, where in the Bible are you getting this? And if their idea, because their ideas are sometimes good, if it is saturated with prayer and truth, then you just pray over it again just in case. And after your GC has come to in unity about it, then freely do what you think God has pressed upon your heart. Okay, remember, if sanctification for yourself is going to be hard, all right, just imagine how much you will need to rely on the Spirit when Radiant is being sanctified. Okay, trust me, it is worth it. James 1, 2 through 4. Okay, so count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. A lot of times, sanctification does not seem like joy, but it truly is, and press into it. All right, we're almost finished. John 17, 20. So this is the last thing we see Jesus do in his prayer, and it's to pray for those who have not yet believed. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So do you remember the last time someone got saved? Like, you don't have to answer it, but I want you to think about the last time, like, that you saw someone get saved. Do you remember the day that you got saved? Okay. Do you remember that feeling? Like that feeling that you were like, oh, I'm saved. Or you saw someone else and their eyes lit up and you were like, man, dude, I think he just got saved. Right? Some of you that were raised in the church probably have no idea what that was like, as you probably got saved like 4 or 5 times at youth group or something. That's okay. I know you repeated that prayer enough, and we all know you're saved. But for those that were maybe raised in the church, do you remember a time when maybe your friend experienced salvation? You remember the joy in their eyes. I want you to think about that right now. That moment when they went from being blind to seeing the truth. Lastly, I want you guys to know that when you start praying for the lost, be prepared for the people God will bring your way. So to recap real quick, we think about unity. We do what Jesus did. Jesus prayed about unity. And he first prayed. He prayed for himself. He prayed for those he was with. And he prayed for those that will come. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing in Radiant Fairbanks. We thank you for what you are doing in our state with Radiant, just the Radiant Network and all the Acts 29 churches that are up here in Alaska. God, I pray that you would just spark a fire in our hearts to understand what it means to be united in Christ
united in our churches. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would protect us from the enemy, just as Jesus prayed for us, that you would protect us from the evil one. Lord, we love you. We thank you. I pray, God, that as we close our service, that our worship would just be a beautiful aroma to you. In your precious son's name, amen.